The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
When the Facts Change is brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network, in partnership with KiwiBank. The bank for Kiwi, looking to get ahead in business and in life. A bank that delivers expertise and banking know-how, smart advice for business owners wanting to invest, grow their business, or diversify. A bank that adapts with technology through the lens of its people and customers. It is a bank with heart that is driven by its purpose. Kiwi, making Kiwi better off. I have to admit to being a little bit old, 57, which means I grew up in an era when people didn't need quite so much charity. We didn't have as much inequality, and there weren't that many people who are really, really wealthy. It's different now. We have a large number of people who actually are very wealthy, certainly in asset terms. And we now have a large number of people who need a lot of help. Trips to food banks, all sorts of assistance, because either our social safety net is not strong enough, or they're just simply not earning enough to pay for their daily expenses, in particular housing being the worst of them. So what does that mean? How do we narrow that gap? How do we help those people who have lots of money in a pot, give it to those people who don't have so much money and need various bits of help? If the government's not going to do it, how do we ensure the high net worth individuals are going to do it? Well, this week on When the Facts Change, I speak to Cheryl Spain, who is the executive director of the Gift Trust, which works with high net worth individuals to funnel some of that money to those charities and deals with those gnarly issues around making sure that it goes to reliable people who pay their bills on time and who do their reports and are tickety-boo with the tax department and all of that, and make sure that those people who are giving money are not getting too involved in the charity, which can be just as painful. It's not natural for New Zealand to be in this position, and it's a relatively new thing, but other countries have been doing it for much longer, the United States, parts of Europe. And we're going to have to learn how to do some of that, connecting the high net worth individuals with those people and charities that need the money. That's this week on When the Facts Change. Well, kia ora, and welcome to the Spinoff Studio to Cheryl Spain, who is the Executive Director of the Gift Trust. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Tell us about the Gift Trust and what it does and why it exists.
In a nutshell, we exist to help generous people who want to give their money away to good causes to do it better, easier, more effectively, and to help them, to introduce them to the causes that they may not know about otherwise. So, yeah, we essentially help philanthropists. That's a word that we don't tend to use in New Zealand as often as some other countries.
Why is that? Why haven't we got that history of philanthropy? And when I think of philanthropy, I think of the Victorian era Britain and the United States, the Gilded era, you know, money being given to hospitals and things. But in New Zealand, we don't quite have that culture, do we?
Not quite. It's a little bit more immature compared to other countries that have been doing it for a long time. I think that's from a variety of reasons, some of which just may be simply that in the past we didn't have as high a wealth inequality as we do now. So we didn't have people with that vastly different amount of money that they were able to give away. Times are changing and there are a lot more people around who now can do it. And perhaps we just didn't have that culture of feeling that charities needed that support from individuals as much as they do now. You know, in the past, many charities received government grants and various other ways of funding. Now, many of them rely on funding from individuals, so it's certainly increasing.
So, occasionally, I have dreams about, you know, winning lotto or selling a business or something. So I'm going to imagine here, it's a lot of fun to imagine, that I've just sold my software business to Microsoft. I'm at an age where I want to kick back. I've got some kids who've got their eyes on it, but I'd quite like to give it away to some areas that I'm interested in. But I don't really know who's good at this, and I don't want to give my money away to some charlatan, and I'm interested in some help. So help me out.
Yeah. Well, this is the exact case that we deal with a lot. So a lot of our clients come to us with this example. So what we tend to advise people, the Gift Trust is a charity ourselves, so we're quite embedded in the charity sector. We know who's doing what. We know what sorts of organisations are out there, and we can find out information. So what we tend to do is we work with people when they're first in that situation. Often they've been giving for many, many years, but maybe at a smaller level, and they want to step it up a level, or they want to do things more strategically. So our first step is we sit down with a person or a family, and we really dive deep into what are their values, what change would they like to see in the world with this money. You know, that's a starting point. It's not kind of who do you want to give to, it's like what matters as an individual to you or to your family, and how would you like to see this money do some good in the world, because ultimately that's what people want to do with it if they're giving money to charitable causes. And once you start with that core proposition, you can then look to see actually what fields they're interested in, whether it's the environment or climate change or health or education or whatever. And then we ask some really curly questions sometimes, like,
Throw them at me.
Well, about the types of organisations they're interested in supporting or the types of people they're interested in supporting. So, you know, some people come at this problem with quite a business mindset, so they might be really interested in supporting some really risky, new, innovative, different ideas. Others will want tried and tested solutions that they can see, like, what's the impact? Show me the numbers. Give me the figures of how many people this organisation is helping. So again, we're trying to find out that sort of information. But also, crucially, our role at the Gift Trust is actually to educate people about best practice when giving away money and when dealing with the charity sector as well.
What are the pitfalls, the problems that can arise?
Yeah, so one of the things we try and talk to people about is building relationships with the organisations that they support and working in a way where they can both understand what the organisation's goals are and not ideally be too directive, because that's where some of the problems arise, is when philanthropists come in and they have very strong views of how an organisation should be doing things. And actually it's about building a relationship so they can understand, and they might have some involvement, but there has to be a level of trust. And so one of the best practices at the moment within the philanthropic sector is around funding core operational support for charitable organisations, not project-based solutions, because that allows the charity to be flexible. So if things change or a new problem comes up, they have this core funding that they can use how they see fit to solve whatever problems they have.
That's one of the sort of spectrum of ways of doing it. Sometimes you hear some charities say, you know, we give away 93 cents on every dollar that we get to a particular person, and it's something useful for them. There are this many goats that your money will buy. Yeah. And the implication is that those charities that keep 93 cents and only give 7 goats are the ones who have failed. But what you're suggesting is sometimes having a strong back office is better than throwing all the money at the front.
Yeah, well, like most of these problems, it's nuanced, right? So it's not one thing nor the other. And I like to say it's a bit like any organisation that you go into. If you haven't got the money to keep your lights on or to pay an admin officer to do your accounts, you're not going to be supporting homeless people very well, or whatever it is that your core cause is. So again, we try and do a bit of myth busting. There is some myths out there about the charity sector, like you've just said, you know, the charities that say we give X amount of every dollar to the people we support. That can be a good thing. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but I just mean we do also need to look at how well run an organisation is. And that means getting good talent, like running any business. You know, you have to have the right people to run that organisation. They can't all rely on volunteers. Some do, but often they need to pay staff. They need to pay for the boring, slightly unsexy things that donors often don't want to fund. Like I just said, rent for an office space or, you know, your electricity bill.
Yeah, my money's going to buy printers.
Exactly.
And a router. I'm going to get the router.
Exactly. People don't like funding that sort of stuff. But if you want to fund well, you have to trust in an organisation to know what sort of things they need to do their work well. So that is a big piece of education. And sometimes, of course, our donors do want to fund a specific thing. That's fine too. But we play a bit of a role of navigating both sides of the coin. We're dealing with the charitable organisations. We're dealing with the people that fund them. And there's a bit of language translation sometimes to help them understand each other.
Language translation. It sounds like a fancy way to describe, you know, bringing people who sometimes can be quite unusual, willful, clear points of view, clear ideas, and they might not be joined up.
Sometimes, yeah. And that's why having an entity like ours can be really useful in the equation, because you can understand both sides and you can help. Like I say, it is a bit of a translation piece, particularly donors that come with a real business mindset. That can be great, and I've seen fantastic relationships built up where they bring that business mindset and maybe they help the charitable entity they're working with. It can also go badly wrong because sometimes, you know, the types of business plans that you would have for a business and your bottom line and wanting to see the exact dollar amount, for example, on every single output of that, it doesn't translate into the charity sector. How do you put a dollar value on every single outcome that charity is supposed to be solving? Mental health's a good example of that, for example. How do you measure how much an organisation that's working in, say, youth mental health has changed the lives of young people? Quite hard to do measurement. So there's some great work out there in New Zealand that does measure outcomes and show the change that organisations are making. But for some types of work, it's quite hard to measure.
When the Facts Change is brought to you in partnership with KiwiBank to help you understand the issues affecting the economy. And that's what their team of experts is here to do too. Here's KiwiBank's chief economist, Jared Kerr, on what's happening with inflation in 2024.
Globally, inflation rose to really high levels. We saw inflation averaging over 10% last year. Now central banks have reacted. They've tightened monetary policy. They've lifted interest rates to levels where it hurts. We've seen growth slow down and we're seeing inflation coming off, which is great news because we import a lot of inflation from the rest of the world, and that imported inflation is easing. So half the job that we're trying to do locally is being done for us offshore. The other half, the domestic bit, well, that's the tough bit. That's the sticky inflation that's coming out of our housing market. It's coming out of construction. It's coming out of service industries, and it's going to be hard to contain.
Visit kiwibank.co.nz to stay up to date with detailed economic analysis and forecasts from Jared and other KiwiBank experts. They take big issues from both here and overseas and make them relevant to Kiwi businesses.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Now, New Zealand doesn't have a long history of this sort of philanthropy, the high net worth individual giving millions of dollars to particular causes or charities or particular types of work. It is a much, has more of a history in the United States, for example, mm-hmm. And the Gift Trust, it sounds like an organisation that is taking some of its cues or learnings from those organisations in the United States that do a lot of this giving at scale. Mm-hmm. What are the special talents, tricks, ways of doing things that those big organisations have that you think, ah, yeah, that's a good way of doing things, or, yep, that's going to make it better here. Because, I've had a little bit to do with occasionally trying to raise money from the philanthropic sector, and it's quite difficult to get into, to contact. And I always hear that the Americans have got much better systems for this. They've got much better distribution platforms, making it sound like a supermarket. But tell us about how it works in the United States and what we can learn.
Yeah. Well, our model does come from the States, the gift trust model of giving. So the technical term for what we do is a donor-advised fund, and that is a model that started in the States and is now the biggest sort of giving platform, as you say, internationally. But in New Zealand, it had never really taken off, and that's why, that was the kernel of why the Gift Trust was born 15 years ago. And so what they do really well is they're quite strategic about giving in the States. Well, A, it's a cultural thing, right? It's part of your culture. When you get to earn a certain level in the States, everyone knows you give a portion of it away. It's almost expected of people, and I'd love to see that happen here. It's like a social conscience almost. I mean, I could argue there's also bad reasons for that, and that's to do with the government in the States doesn't fund a lot of things, but that's a whole other topic.
It is an interesting thing that's shaped our psyche around giving. I'm 57, so I'm old and grew up in a time when we didn't have such wide inequality, when just about everyone was quite close to each other. You know, the Prime Minister had one house and mowed his own lawns, yeah, often with his shirt off. I'm talking here about Rob Muldoon. And we had a tax rate that was well over 50%. We had a land tax. There were lots of ways you could give money away and get a tax break, or you could do things and get an exemption. Mm-hmm. And then we had all those changes, which meant that we had a broad-based, low-rate tax system with virtually no exceptions. And we have this exceptional no-exceptions policy compared to other parts of the world, which meant that for a long time we thought, well, we don't need to give money to charities because our government provides a really good social safety net. Now, that has been eroded over time. How do you deal with that attitude, which is still there, that, you know, why should I give money? Because that's the government's job.
Yeah, that is still a bit of a hangover from the past. We do hear that sometimes. But unfortunately, things have changed. We see a lot of charities in the NGO sector who are losing funding grants from either government itself or government agencies or sort of aligned entities with government where they used to get funding for contracts to deliver certain services. They're just not getting those anymore. And you've got a double whammy for a lot of those charities. They've got lack of funding from these government contracts, and they've got increased demand from the communities they work with because often they're facing more need. So whether it's social services, cost of living crisis, you know, poverty, all of those things, often these charities are facing increased need, which means increased costs. So there is a huge need for philanthropic giving. I mean, personally, I would love to live in a world where we don't need to do philanthropic funding. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, there's kind of a moral question around that. But we do live in a world where there is vast wealth inequality now in New Zealand. And so I'd love to, and that's part of the ecosystem of philanthropy now, is we're trying to build this understanding of the need within the charity sector for funding, and almost like encourage people to have a moral obligation to give if they are over and above the sort of average income. And sometimes I even talk about it in a way of the everyday philanthropist. So we at the Gift Trust, we do work with very high net worth individuals and families and people who are very wealthy, but we're not talking the Bezoses of the world. You know, we really are dealing with people that are wealthy, but sometimes actually we have some funders that are sort of more just above average, and they're actually giving really significant amounts of money. So I think there's something around telling the stories and the case studies of those sorts of people and how good it feels. We don't often talk about that in New Zealand, like the feelings and the relationships that these people have with the charities that they support, how that can be a good thing.
Do you have a sense of how much potential there is out there for philanthropy? Because you often hear in Aotearoa that our high net worth individuals don't give as much as the American or Australian or European high net worth individuals. I don't know if that's true. It's one of those perceptions that's out there that our high net worth individuals either don't have a culture of doing this regularly and they just haven't gotten around to it, or maybe they've got this thing in their mind from when they weren't particularly wealthy. And most people who are at that very high net worth individual level, particularly the very high net worth, tend not to have come from multi generations of that. Although there will be a few who will think, you know, I don't need to do this. We're a rich country. You know, we don't have a problem. So do you have a sense of, you know, how much could be given and should be given but isn't?
There's very few stats on this, unfortunately. We know what the philanthropic sector is worth and how much it gives. So the latest stats, which are a few years old now, show that from individuals, $2 billion of funding annually comes from individuals, but they don't separate that into everyday people like you and me who might be giving out $20 or $50 here, or the high net worths. So it's very, very hard to find statistics on this. Anecdotally, we definitely know that we are a pretty generous nation. Well, we know we're a very generous nation from some reports. So they do measure these things based on a broad cross-section of who gives in society per capita and how much. So we currently at the moment sit about 10th in something called the World Giving Index, which is a measures how much a nation gives from individuals to the charity sector. So we're high on that front, but we don't really know a separation between those at the top end and those at the bottom. Anecdotally, within New Zealand, most charities know and will tell you that actually they get much more from their kind of middle base of donors, if you like, so people that sit in the middle and give the small to medium amounts, and that's where the bulk of their income comes from. So yes, it's very, very hard to find stats on this, but we could do more on building a culture where it's sort of like a moral obligation, like I say, I think.
And there is there's a flip side of the argument, which says we actually should push our government to provide more of a social safety net, and we should actually push our high net worth individuals to pay taxes, which goes through the government into the social safety net. And there are some groups who are doing things off their own bat to provide more, and essentially asked to be taxed more. Those people who call for capital gains tax or some sort of land or wealth tax. There are people who dedicate their pension payments for everyone over the age of 65 who gets a pension. Mm-hmm. They direct that to some charity rather than take it because they can afford it. So, you know, how much of an issue is this? Well, by encouraging philanthropy, we're giving the politicians and government a free kick. And in fact, maybe they quite like not to have to do this and give a tax cut instead because that's how they get back in.
Yeah, it is an issue. I mean, within the philanthropic community, it's discussed quite a lot. There was a campaign prior to the election from a group of philanthropists who signed a letter, a pledge essentially, to say that they would be happy to be taxed more, that they didn't want their philanthropic funding to almost be used as an argument against, sort of reducing tax. So there are huge arguments around that, and I think it's an and. It's not an either-or. It's kind of a philanthropists give money. There are reasonably okay tax breaks in New Zealand, but I think there's a lot more things we could do. So for New Zealanders, it's a very simple system for donation tax credits. You can claim a third of donations that you make as a tax reclaim, a third back as a tax reclaim. It's capped at a certain percentage. But it's very basic and it's only based on cash donations. So there's some things I would love to see in New Zealand that other countries do. So, for example, in the States, you can donate property, you can donate assets, you can donate shares, cryptocurrency, something that we've been working on at the Gift Trust recently. You can donate all of those things and still get a tax reclaim for them. In New Zealand, you can't. You can only donate cash, which just seems mad to me. Perfect example is we've had some clients recently who they inherited a house from their parents, her elderly parents who died. They inherited a house. They decided they didn't need to keep that and they would like to put the funds from that into charities. But of course, they had to sell the house first, get the money, and then decide how to distribute it. In an ideal world, if they had one particular charity in mind and the charity wanted a property as an asset to keep to earn income from, let's say they could have donated it, but for tax reasons, you just wouldn't do that here. It doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of things we could do as a society, I think, that would encourage more philanthropy. But it's that double-edged sword, as you say. You know, you need more tax for the government to cover things. So it's quite a nuanced argument.
Just heading back to my pipe dream, daydreaming moment, where suddenly I've sold my software company, and I've come to you, and I'd quite like to give some of it away. What sort of questions would you ask me about me and my family situation? Because a bit like a financial advisor, you'd have to sort of know a bit about, you know, that my sons and daughters are not going to come after you going, hang on a minute, we expected that money. It wasn't supposed to go to the gift trust or wherever. So how do you, you know, gently understand my situation and save me from my worst instincts?
Yeah, we do try and involve multi-generations of a family when a family is planning their philanthropy. It's really important for that exact reason. There have been some really sad, horrible cases in New Zealand of the next generation, you know, basically questioning a bequest where parents have left a bequest to a charity in their will and then it gets contested, which is just a sad case on all fronts, really, for the children, for the charity, for everybody. So we don't want that to happen. So the key is really, when families are planning their philanthropy, to actually involve the next generation where possible. But we are not financial advisors, so we don't get involved in their sort of other finances. Really, really, they need good, solid financial advice on how much, A, they can afford to give away and how much they want to leave to, you know, the next generation within the family. But once they've got a sort of figure in mind, that's where we step in. But really what we try and do is involve, we do a lot of sort of family planning. So we involve the children. There's multiple ways of doing it so that the next generation can feel included. We have some funds that are run by clients where they actually nominate their kids, their adult kids, they sort of set aside a pot of money from their fund for each of the children. So we've got one client, for example, that says to each child in the family, you get to decide where $20,000 a year from our pot of money is distributed to which charities. And it gets them really involved and they can choose their own organisations. They can follow their own interests. It doesn't have to be the interests of the parents. And it kind of encourages a sense of understanding of where the family is going with their philanthropy, but also it allows them some control, I think, and encourages the children to think about how to use their wealth wisely. So it is something that can be done from an early age.
And increasingly we're seeing different approaches to wealth and money between generations. You know, there's a generation that have grown up who are not very interested in being consumers. Mm. They want to not pump carbon into the atmosphere and not destroy things or whatever, and maybe have quite a different approach to gathering wealth or giving it away versus some others who may have a view that, you know, hey, we worked hard for this, the kids should look after themselves, I'm going to give it all away. Can you give us a sense of how the different generations are approaching this?
Mm. There is a real change happening at the moment, so there's a big intergenerational transfer of wealth happening anyway, and we are finding that clients that we are getting are younger. It's very surprising sometimes when I tell people about my work and what I do, people assume that we work with, you know, the traditional, what you might picture in your mind when you think of a philanthropist, mostly an old white guy, let's face it, most people would think of. It's actually not the case. We deal a lot with people in their 30s and 40s now, who are already starting to think about this because they come at it with this mindset of, yes, they've done well, but they actually have more of a sense of community. And I think the younger generation are finding things like climate change, perhaps housing, those sorts of issues, to be really prescient, and they want to do something about it. So we're certainly seeing that mind shift. I think the younger generations we are finding are more generous, want to give more and want to start earlier and want to see the benefits of it in their lifetime. I think the older generations There's a lot of bequest giving happening, so people do put money in their wills to give money away once they're gone. But that's obviously, you don't see the benefit of that once you're gone. You're not here to sort of see what happens and how that money helps people. So
and
there's
people
quite
live a long
move.
Time too these days.
They do, yeah. So certainly the younger generation are thinking about it earlier. They might be starting smaller in terms of the amount of money they're giving away, but they're starting thinking about it more strategically at a younger age, I think.
Cheryl Spain, the Executive Director for the Gift Trust. Ngā mihi nui. Thank you very much for coming into the studio here at the Spinoff for When the Facts Change.
Thanks, Bernard. It was great.
When the Facts Change was brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network, together with KiwiBank. Visit kiwibank.co.nz to find out how KiwiBank are making Kiwi better off.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.